Good morning, everyone, and welcome to a very cool day out on the Mid-North Coast. I hope you're having an amazing day. Today I want to talk about worship. And I do that with a little bit of fear and trembling because I know the subject of worship can be so divisive. There are so many different opinions about worship. So what is worship? Well, the definitions of worship run the gauntlet of meetings, and we're going to look at a couple and probably look at both extremes. Here's the first one that's current in a lot of churches. When we lift our hands in praise and worship, we break the spiritual jars of perfume over Jesus. The fragrance of our praise fills the whole earth and touches the heart of God. Wow, that's an amazing description. A very flamboyant and outgoing and exciting worship. But the next one kind of brings us back to reality. One man said, "It is hypocritical to thank God with my tongue when I don't feel grateful in my heart." And that is so true as well. Often we try to praise and worship where inside we really don't feel it. Now, here's a definition from a secular source, and go to Wikipedia. Worship is an act of religious devotion, usually directed toward a deity. It may involve one or more activities such as veneration, adoration, or praise. For many, worship is not about an emotion. It is more about the recognition of God. I really do like that last line. Let me read it again. For many, worship is not about an emotion. It is more about the recognition of God. You see, there are so many contradicting and contrasting definitions of worship. And you can feel the tension between the two. And that's what we're going to dig into today, and we're going to hope to find some clarity from the Word of God. So I'm glad you're with us today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity for us to worship you. Now help us to get your view about worship. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may have enjoyed the first definition and even thought that the others were a bit cold. So let's go to the words of Jesus and see if we can get some clarity on what, unfortunately, worship can be. Well, we know, first of all, that the Jews were masters of worship. They knew how to worship according to the strict law of God. But you see, their worship devolved. It went downward into something that God was not impressed with. And they worshiped, but seriously, they were doing it all wrong. And Jesus says this in Mark chapter 7, verses 6 and 7. He answered and said unto them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written." When he says hypocrites, look out. This is what he says. "These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Look, it's entirely possible to worship God, and God is not pleased with any of it. You see, the problem is the Jews were ignoring what God wanted, and they did what they wanted. They would ignore the commands of God, and they would create their own commands, and they placed their own commands or their own desires over the desires of God. There's a discussion that I've heard over and over in the last few years on the right way to worshiping. You see, most of us are kind of like the Jews. We want what we want, what we are comfortable with. But you see, what we're comfortable with or used to is not really what's important. The only thing that is important is, does God like my worship? Is he pleased? So what kind of worship pleases God? Well, seriously, we know that God doesn't listen to our words. He looks on the heart. Everything is revealed to him. He knows who we are and what's going on in our hearts all the time. So that's what he looks at during our worship. See, I believe that our worship should be God-centered and not man-centered. Is our worship God-centered? You see, if we worship to impress our Christian brothers and sisters, we're missing the point altogether. I know that we all look forward to a time of worship on Sunday, but I personally believe the best worship is when we worship alone. It's not motivated by other people. It's not restricted by what they think. It's just between God and us. At these times, we can be completely focused on God and God alone. The best worship leader that I've ever known said, if there is no worship during the week, there'll be no worship on Sunday morning. So let me ask you, do you worship God during the week? If not, should you? I think you know the answer to that one. So let's look just a little bit deeper. We've defined worship as a specific place or time, either on Sunday morning or perhaps alone by ourselves in our private place, perhaps our prayer closet at home. Well, that definition is about a specific time and place. And that's so important, but how about those other times that we have not set apart for God? Do you think these other times we might be just a little bit self-focused? We need to think about that. But I can hear the arguments. Well, I've got to work to live, and that's true. Or maybe I've got a house full of children, and how's it possible to be a good parent and find more time with God? Well, I don't believe our worship has to be a certain time in a certain place all the time. Go with me to Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Or in other words, it's the least that we can do. Now let's look at a paraphrase of that verse. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. Did you see that? Living and holy sacrifice, that's about as full of worship as you can get. And God will find that acceptable. The writer goes on, this is truly the way to worship him. So, give your bodies to God because of all the things that he's done for you. That's only reasonable. He's done so much for us. And we need to let our bodies be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. Then the writer adds this. This is truly the way to worship him. Listen, that is all day, every day. Let me say it again. That is sacrificed, given to God, true worship, all day, every day. So let's summarize what we've looked at. First, we desperately need that alone time with God where we can separate from everything and just focus on God. That is so extremely important to the life of every Christian. But for the rest of our time, let our bodies be a living and holy sacrifice. That is real worship. And I believe together, the alone time and the living sacrifice, the body offered to Jesus the whole time, I believe this is the kind of worship that pleases God. So, do you have that alone time with God? Come on. Do you have that place where you get alone with God? Secondly, have you chosen to give your life completely and fully to God as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice? You see, that's what Jesus calls real discipleship, somebody that will cast everything off and follow Him. And yes, you do have the time to be that living sacrifice to God. But you see, the choice is up to you. So what will you choose? You may be asking, how are we supposed to fully and completely worship God with our bodies? Well, that's a good question. But fortunately for us, Paul goes on and defines that. And we'll just kind of break it into pieces and look at what he said. Verse number 9, let love be genuine. How many times do we fake love towards somebody? Come on now, how many times? Then he goes on, abhor what is evil, or reject, stay away from, hate what is evil. And then hold fast to what is good. Often when we see something evil, we gravitate to it because it's fun. We are supposed to push away from those things. Why? Because we know they don't honor God. So we need to push away from evil and hold on to those things that are good. Verse 10, love one another with brotherly affection. Well, we know that. We're supposed to love one another. Let's make sure we get that. And it says, I love this translation. It says, outdo one another in showing honor. Try to be the best you can be at honoring each other. Make a point to honor other people. Verse 11, do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. A lot of times we are just boring people. Come on, let's face it. We're boring people. But we need to have a zeal for the Lord. We need to be focused and ambitious about serving the Lord. Verse 12, rejoice in hope. Sometimes we lose hope, but we're supposed to be people of hope. That is a characteristic of a Christian life, people who are known for hope. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. When the hard times come, folks, patience. Sometimes we wish that word patience wasn't in the Bible, but it's there, and it's there many times. So we are to be patient in times of tribulation and be constant in prayer. That's important. Are we always communicating with God? We need to be thinking about that. Verse 13, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. That is a giving person. And we're supposed to give because we want to, not because somebody has compelled us or pushed us to do that. Verse 14, here's a hard one. Bless those who persecute you. Yeah, all right. We are to bless those who persecute us. That is a holy life surrendered to God that can do that. It says, bless and do not curse. It is so easy to come down on people who are persecuting us. But we are supposed to bless them, not curse them. Now, verse number 15, and let's just read through it. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty. That's arrogant, looking down your long nose at people. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. never be wise in your own eyes, have a correct self-estimation of yourself. Verse 17, repay no evil for evil. That's a hard one, but that is a surrendered holy life before God. That is real worship. Repay no evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Now here's a summary of the whole thing. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Listen, folks, what we just looked at is a life fully surrendered to God. It is a life that constantly brings worship to God, not just on Sunday. This is the kind of worship that we can live out during the week. And if we'll live this kind of worship out during the week with a holy, devoted life to God, that will enable us to worship authentically on Sunday morning. So now you know. Real worship is a time set apart, alone with God. You have to make that decision to do that. That's so important. And along with that, real worship is a life that is a living sacrifice and completely holy, given to God throughout the week. I think we should take those points in Romans chapter 12 and type them out on a big sheet of paper and post them where we can look at them every day and say, this is how I'm supposed to live a holy life, dedicated and given to God, and just go through those points. That's what Paul just said. It's written out for us. All we have to do is do it. And I believe if we'll do those things, a time set apart unto God, and then a life surrendered to Jesus, then that's worship that will honor God. Father, I thank you for the day and for the blessings. Thank you for this rather pointed passage of Scripture that can show us how to honor and worship you. Father, again, thank you for your instruction. Now may our lives be holy and acceptable to you on Sunday and all throughout the week. In Jesus' name, amen.